Welcome to the All Recovery Talk podcast, where we talk all things recovery and substance use related. We're your hosts. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Lenny. This podcast was made for people in recovery, people with substance use disorder, allies of recovery, and everything in between.
Both Lenny and I are in recovery and work as peer support specialists at the only nationally recognized recovery community organization in North Dakota. Welcome, everyone, to episode 2. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing, am I an addict? Hi, Lenny.
Hi, Kevin. Hey, everybody.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Thinking about this topic, am I an addict?
It's a very interesting topic. Before we start on today's episode, though, I would like to thank everyone who has checked up on our podcast. I believe we are up to like 58 followers on our Facebook, which is amazing because we had zero when we posted the actual episode. So kudos to everyone. Thank you to the 3 followers on YouTube. We are on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, pretty much the main podcasts. You can find the All Recovery Talk. So on today's episode, am I an addict? It is very, very broad term. I think I was going to start it off by saying, you know, that am I an addict? For me, on a 12-step based program, am I an addict is defined by, has my life become unmanageable? Is my life obsessive and compulsive over a substance or of anything? You know, that is how I define, am I an addict? How is your definition?
Pretty much the same. Sitting here thinking about it, you know, is my life completely unmanageable? You know, have I burned it down to the bottom of nothing? You know, What's left of your life?
Yeah, I think I envisioned this episode more along the lines of just talking about, you know, our lives and that pivotal moment where we realize that, oh, yeah, I am an addict. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there's the addict term to the normie, you know. There's so much stigma to it.
Yeah, that is that's something that, you know, through this podcast also, we hope that we can lessen that stigma of, you know, people seeing addicts as, it's just people that don't deserve anything, that are just worthless individuals that just take, take, take. You know, that may be the case of take, take, taking while you're in active addiction. But once you're in recovery, you know, for me, I try and give back as much as I possibly can, you know, to overcome that amount of take, take, take that I used to do.
Yep, we suit up and we show up today.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, am I an addict? So for me, my life through my usage was always I just used drugs, man. I don't have a problem. You know, my main problem was when I didn't have drugs. that's when I had a problem. You know, I didn't have money or drugs. So, you know, through the years, you know, of my family always being there, you know, my parents used to tell me all the time, I think you have a problem, Kevin. I think you need to do something about that. And my response was, how dare you? I don't have a problem. You know, I have a bag of drugs in my pocket. So right now, at this point in time, I don't have a problem. So when I got older, though, and I got to that point, you know, where life was, you know, always a constant chaos because it was either, you know, me getting into fights with a girlfriend or, you know, me going to jail because of my usage. You know, I started to wonder, you know, am I an addict? No, I'm not as bad as other people are, you know. I always... You know, I always thought to myself, I'm not homeless. You know, I haven't sold everything that I own. You know, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. So I must not be an addict. You know, it wasn't until I got into my late 20s that I started to really notice that I probably had a problem. I just couldn't admit it. You know, that my life literally revolved around drugs. That was my life. You know, it was waking up and the first thing I did was use drugs to get out of bed versus wake up and get a glass of water or smoke a cigarette. You know, it was, this is what I have to do in order to get out of bed. That I really started to wonder, do I have a problem? Not willing to admit that, because if I admitted it, then I probably should probably do something about it. You know, so once I was able to, you know, well, I got sentenced to treatment, court ordered to treatment, and, you know, that didn't stop me from using. You know, it wasn't until, like I shared about in our intro, that, you know, I was threatened with 15 years in prison that, you know, I finally came to terms that I probably had a problem. You know, that was after being clean for about 2 weeks and then using, and within 8 hours of using, I was back in jail for terrorizing again, that, you know, that I'm an addict. It was definitely drilled into my head, but I didn't know what to do about it. You know, that's one thing, you know, yeah, I'm an addict, but what do I do? You know, because I knew how to use, but I didn't know how to be in recovery. I didn't know what recovery was. You know, I didn't know what being clean really was, because I was white knuckling the whole 2 weeks that I had been clean, which was the longest I had been clean, you know, without being in jail since I was 12 years old. So it wasn't until, you know, I got to the rooms, that I was able to work on that label, is that I'm an addict and that I have a disease. And really buckle down to work on that factor, to where today I can say that I'm a recovering addict, you know, and be fine with that. You know, I can tell my story to any Tom, Dick, or Harry there is. I don't care what your social status may be. You know, I'm okay with my story. I am okay with who I used to be, you know, and I use that story to hopefully change the perception of the individuals that I speak with, to not only end the stigma, but for them to see what it's like in the life of a using addict, so that they may better understand, because they may have a loved one or a friend that is going through, you know, the disease, and you know, for them to better accept them, to possibly help them through their addiction. You know, that's one of the hopes through this podcast, you know, is for people that not necessarily have the disease of addiction to listen to this podcast to better understand the life of an addict, you know, to understand that recovery is possible no matter what their life used to be like, you know, that they can be that lighthouse for those individuals to be able to find their way back to a life worth living.
Why is it when we have to realize that we have a problem, it takes us to go to jail? You know?
Because I think that's a pivotal moment, you know, that it's just like, you know, that it really nails that puts, you know, nails that last nail in that coffin, that, oh, maybe I should do something about this. You know, because for a very long time, you know, I wanted something different. You know, I was sick of the way I was living, but I didn't have the motivation to do anything about it, and or the knowledge, let alone to do something about it.
Same. You know, I think that's whenever I finally realized that I was an addict, you know, because to me it was the normal. So I never, it was the only thing that I really knew. So I didn't even think I had a problem, you know, after going to jail and then running back, playing the tape back on my life, you know, like I had a serious problem. You know, I was severely sick from this disease. And just recently, you know, I went to go take my kids to go visit their dad, and me and him were sitting there talking, and, you know, he's still a really good friend of mine. We were together for over a decade, and we were sitting there talking, and I was like, man, I just remember this very moment. And I shared this moment with him, and he's like, man, Lenny, he's like, I always remember that too. You know, and like, I'll share that moment with you guys. Okay, so we were living from hotel to hotel. You know, finally the money ran out, the drugs ran out. We couldn't afford a hotel anymore. And I just had a baby. My baby was in the NICU for a month because she was born premature. So she was with us, and my two other children were with us, but my oldest was with her grandma, and her grandma took her at the time because she knew that something was going on with us, you know, so she wanted to remove my daughter from our care till we could figure things out. So anyways, we're hotel hopping, everything runs out, money runs out, you know, so we have a vehicle. And at that point we were, his mom was paying for our phone bill, and she knew something was wrong. So she cut off our phones, cut us off completely financially, cut off our phones. So we were Wi-Fi warriors.
The big Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so we're sitting outside of a hotel one time, and it was hot. It was in the summer. This was in 2018. And, you know, my kids were crying because they were hungry, and we didn't have no money. We didn't have no gas to go anywhere. We couldn't even turn the car on because we didn't have no gas, you know, and it was hot, like dead summer out. But my baby had formula. But my two younger ones that could eat food, they were hungry, you know. So we scrounged up our change from the car, and we gathered up $5. And that's when Little Caesar's pizzas were $5. Mm. Now I think they're like $6.99 or something. Yep. But he had to walk to go get that pizza, you know. And me and him were so sick, we had to sleep in that car that night, you know, with our kids. And all we had was that pizza, you know. And it was, I think, like, that moment, like, I hold that so close to me, you know. I hold, like, it's just, it's a bad memory, you know. And that's when I realized, like, I had a problem. And then a week later, I get picked up by the feds, you know. So it was too late for me by then. And I just remember crying, and I was so sick, but I wanted that pain to go away, you know. But I just didn't know how. I didn't know how to get clean. I didn't know what recovery was. I didn't have I wasn't hanging around anybody that was clean, you know. Like, I associated with people that were all in active addiction, so I didn't even know what recovery looked like at all. But yeah, that's the moment I shared with him, and he remembers that moment so clearly to this day, you know. Like, it was a hard time. So that happened in 2018. So, yeah, I bet a lot of people have a similar experience, you know, realizing that their life is completely unmanageable. That was one great experience for me. You know, my whole life, like you said, it was just revolved around drugs and alcohol, you know. Like, I didn't even care that I had four kids. That's the insanity of it, you know. Like, I couldn't imagine doing that to my kids today. And I lived like that for so long, you know. I went where my addiction took me. I did what it wanted me to do. And it's just insane, you know, thinking back to it, you know. I could still just picture myself in that hot vehicle with all my kids. And, you know, it was horrible.
That had to be miserable.
You know, but like today, I don't have to live like that. You know, today I can be a beacon of hope and, like you said, be that lighthouse and shed light that, you know, there is a life outside of drugs and alcohol. You know, we can have fun.
That is definitely, that's definitely a very difficult story.
You know, and like today, I'm a proud addict, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a proud recovering addict. And like, where did we go? My daughter's like, how can you just tell people, like, about your life? I was like, 'cause, baby, that's part of my story,
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I am an open book because, like you said, you never know. Like, you never know. Then we work in the recovery field, so just always sharing your story no matter where you go.
Yeah, sharing your story is definitely part of what we do. It allows us to build a rapport with the individuals we work with because they understand, you know, that we understand.
Yeah.
You know, I've built rapport with people, you know, that counselors in treatment spent 6 months trying to build, and I built it with an individual in 10 minutes, you know, and they couldn't understand why, and it's simply that, is yeah. because I understood what they were going through because I had been there. You know, part of, am I an addict? You know, if in my eyes, if you ask yourself this question, am I an addict? And you're asking yourself and you have a needle in your arm or you're, you know, you're in a trap house somewhere.
Living under a bridge.
Yeah, you know, you're wearing the same clothes you were 3 days ago, you know, wondering where your next high is going to come from. Chances are you're probably an addict, you know.
Not a problem.
As Jeff Foxworthy would say, here's your sign. You know, if you're constantly going to jail wondering, why do I keep ending up here? You know, why is my life this way? You know, it's probably because you're an addict, you know, and it doesn't matter what your addiction is, you know. For me, you know, drugs was not only my only addiction, you know, I have a gambling addiction, you know, and there's times where I gambled the day and, you know, I get done gambling and I go, why did I do that? I just wasted $800, you know, that I could have used for something else. You know, and I feel guilty and I feel mad just like I did when I was using, you know, and to where, you know, it's just like I need to do something about it, you know, and you know, I can do something about it today. You know, that's the thing, is that I know a different way of living.
Find the solution.
Yep. Is that I have that knowledge to be able to figure out what can I do so that this isn't a continued problem. You know, am I an addict through and through? I always will be. You know, that's the one thing that I live with every day, is that, you know, at any given moment, I could go back to using.
Wait, there's no cure?
Yeah, no, they haven't found one yet. Unless you go to Passages Malibu, I hear. You know, seems like a nice place. And I think I would have went and I'd have still came out an addict, though.
Same.
You know, I might have just been in a different place to be an addict, because after going to Passages, I might not have came back to North Dakota, though.
Peace out, indeed.
Long beaches, long walks on the beach, you know, no snow. I probably never would have came back. But I still would have been an addict, you know, because even though I went to treatment, you know, that only helped me stop using drugs. You know, it wasn't until I started working steps through a 12-step that my life actually started to change, you know, that I started to recognize why I was using, you know, the things that I was running from in my past, you know, that made it okay to use. You know, I started working on those. Like, currently I'm on my ACE step, making a list, you know, of all those people that I have harmed.
Fun stuff.
Oh yeah, it's great. You know, I'm loving this step. I've made the list.
It is a good step. I liked it too.
Yeah, I've gotten the list partially.
That's how you get that rejection, and they don't even want to hear what you have to say.
I'm wholeheartedly waiting for that in the 9th step. So, you know, it's something that I have to be okay with, though. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's that I've done wrong through my past, but I can be better today. You know, and I'm okay if people, you know, when I do get to that point that I try to make amends, that they accept it or they don't.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's clearly up to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard when you get one of those ones, those rejections.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
But you tried.
It's all in their time.
You tried and did your best, and you try to clear the wreckage that you caused and clear up your side of the street. That's all you really can do.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on, is getting my side of the street spick and span, you know, so I don't have to live that way anymore.
Such a beautiful life today, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. It is a beautiful life, and it is also like 50.
The weather's nice.
50-some degrees outside.
You know, but there's
right
just
now.
So much to this 56? Topic, though. You know, yeah. Am I an addict? I'm just sitting here looking at it. You know, there's just so much to it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's, you know, it's a very broad topic.
Yeah, it is.
You know, when I when we got done recording the last episode, and I'm like, next episode is Am I an Addict? I'm like, I should have probably prefaced a little more on
I know, I was thinking about
topic.
It last night. I'm like, damn, Kevin.
because it's so wide open as far as a topic.
Yeah.
You know, like gaming addictions, eating.
Sex.
You know, yeah, gambling, drugs, shopping.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's
know.
One of my addictions right now.
Yeah, working out, you know, like there are so many addictions, you know, that most people don't think that, oh, I'm not an addict. It doesn't make my life unmanageable or anything like that. And then, you know, it's just like you ask them a few simple questions and they go, well, maybe I am. Am I going to do nothing
deep.
About it, though?
Gotta dig deep and be honest with yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's that's something that, you know, is crucial, is getting honest with yourself about these things, you know, because I got told for many, many years, you know, that, you know, you have a problem. By many different people, my parents, my cousins, my family members, you know, friends, you know, that aren't addicts, you know, they would tell me I had a problem, but I didn't see it.
Even the drug dealers would tell me I had a problem. Like, what?
That's pretty. That's pretty bad, Lenny.
Right?
It's pretty bad when the drug dealer's like, "Ma'am, I think you have a problem. I can only sell you so much because of this."
You need to get it together. Yeah. Like, you don't like money?
Yeah. Like, we might have to send you to treatment for 28 days, ma'am. You've definitely spiraled out of control.
My life was so crazy, though. Like, I just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled, you know? It's just, all the signs were there, and I was just in denial the whole time.
Yeah, that's what it was for me. It was just denial. You know, if I don't see it, it's not a problem.
Right?
You know, like my character defects. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a condescending asshole. How dare you? And then I see it and I go, oh, yeah, maybe I am. I should work on that. You know, like I do with my recovery. You know, I'm able to recognize those types of things nowadays and be able to, you know, work on them, you know, before it gets me to that point where I deal with pain and misery more often than not. Sometimes I kind of miss pain and misery and chaos. So every great once in a while, I'm just like, hey, how can we throw some shit at a fan and not get hit with the shit that comes back off the fan.
How can we shake some stuff up here?
Yeah, I'm bored today. What should we do? You know, it's the old Pinky in the Brain saying, you know, what are we doing tonight, Pinky? Well, Brain, we're taking over the world.
Oh, man, what's our next topic going to be?
Oh, shit, our next topic. So, I got some written down. I kind of made the mistake and I numbered topics and after our first one. So I'm not quite sure what we're going to do yet. Maybe making the decision for myself. Maybe talk about treatment.
Or maybe what is peer support.
I guess you guys will just have to tune in to find out what our next episode's going to be. You know, never know. It could be, I don't know. It's a surprise.
Family relationships. Ooh.
Yeah. We got a whole whiteboard that's full of like 50 different topics that we stare at the whole time.
Just brainstorming over here.
Yeah, got to do the brainstorming. You know, it's better to brainstorm than to just walk right into it, which sometimes works out, you know, like topic for today. We walked right into it, you know, and here we are, you know. So hopefully you guys, you know, get out of this topic something, anything, you know, to help you in your life today, you know,
you're
to make
alone.
Better decisions. Yeah, knowing that you're never alone, you know, there are other people just like you.
And recovery is possible, guys.
It is, no matter what your background is, no matter how long you've been in active addiction, you know, recovery is possible. You know, reach out.
Call us.
Yeah. You know, you can always, a great number that you can always call to talk to somebody 24 hours a day is 1-800-RECOVERY-TALK, where you'll reach a peer support specialist 24 hours out of the day that you can talk to, you know, that will understand what you're going through in that moment. You know, and if you're in crisis, you can always call 211 here in North Dakota, or you can always dial 988, you know, suicide hotline 988, and they can get you directed to somebody that can better assist you with what situation you have going on. And as always, if it's an absolute emergency, always dial 911. And today's call of action, what should today's call of action be, Lenny?
Be kind.
Be kind, yes. Today's call of action, be kind, brought to you by being an amazing human being.
Yeah.
You know?
Reach out, help somebody, be kind, be loving.
Yep, you know? Take that extra second to ask, you know, somebody that's walking through the door, how's your day? You know, open that door for somebody, you know? Even smiling at somebody.
Yes, or buy somebody's coffee behind you.
Yeah, there you go. Pay it forward. You know, because you never know what they're going through. You know, and that one little thing could change the outlook of their day. And I guess we shall see you on the next episode, which will be to be determined.
Bye, friends.
Have a good day, everyone. Check you later.